Scene 17, Sarah Voskovic, 8:30 p.m. It was about 8:30 when we reached the park, and the twilight was well faded. In fact, if I hadn't talked about fading twilight so that I had a vested interest in it, I would have considered it night. The three stars that one can see in the city sky were out, and the automobile headlights twinkled merrily on every side. I put my arm about Sarah's waist and said, "Are you cold?" She said, "Not a bit." But I left my arm there just in case she became cold later, and she put hers around mine, perhaps for the same reason. We were walking toward my apartment, but I said nothing about that, and I swear I had no intention of maneuvering her there. It was the purest coincidence that we were walking in that direction. Footnote 1. Asimov is deliberately having me over-protest here to make me look ridiculous. Darius Just. Footnote 2. All I can say is that I wish I had thought to use a tape recorder. You should have heard Darius swear, cross his heart, and kiss his pinky finger to heaven as a sign that his motives were pure. Not that I believed him for a minute. Isaac Asimov. The moon was exactly as I had predicted it would be, and she told me that back in her apartment she had a field glass, which she sometimes used from her apartment house roof to look at the moon's craters, Venus phases, and the four major satellites of Jupiter. I had never seen the satellites, and I said so, and she said that someday she would show them to me, a promise which at that moment I treasured and meant to cash in. She had apparently gotten over her grisly moment in the restaurant, but I wasn't particularly aware of that, since, to tell the truth, I had utterly forgotten about it. In fact, between the odd and therefore erotic feel of the waist of a mature woman in a position I had never felt before, and the utter placidity of the moment after the hectic, almost interminable stretch of the convention, I felt an odd storybook romanticism of a kind to which ordinarily I am a stranger. I said in melting tones that I would not have recognized as my own if I could have listened to them from outside, "What a pity the park is off bounds." "A pity indeed," said Sarah. "It could be so beautiful on an evening like this, so peaceful to escape from the hectic city into the serene greenery." It was exactly what I had felt, and a sense of wild grievance overcame me, a feeling of cruel deprivation. "This," I said, "is the result of a self-fulfilling belief. Once the rumor spread that the park was dangerous at night, the public began staying away, and a deserted park becomes, by that simple fact, dangerous. And since the wolves flocked for what prey remained, since their isolation made them easy picking, it grew still more dangerous." "I know. It's a terrible pity. But I tell you what. We need not penetrate its depths. Why not a bench near the edge, with a light conveniently nearby? We can at least sit down and be shielded just a little from the traffic. I'll be honest, I was thinking we might kiss a bit." She said, "Oh, no. After all, if something happened..." "Nothing will happen. And if it does, I'd take care of it." "Oh, no," she said softly. "Don't indulge in braggadocio." It seemed to me, in the uncertain light of a not-too-close street lamp, that she smiled condescendingly for a flickering moment. I suppose I had just been talking. Kisses or no kisses, I don't think I had really had any intention of walking into the park. But what could I do after that? I said, "Don't go by the fact that I'm 155 centimeters tall and 55 kilograms in weight." Damn it, if she was European, she could understand that. "I can take care of myself and of you, too." We were passing one of the entrances, and I said, "Come on," and steered her toward it. She tried to hang back. "Now, Darius, it's not funny. Come on, don't be afraid. We won't be harmed. No one will bother us." I insisted. I used my not inconsiderable strength, and she had to give in. I wasn't actually feeling too good about it, and I was relieved when we found an empty bench perhaps 20 feet inside. It was just far enough from the street outside and the automobile road inside to give the illusion of isolation, and just near enough to the edge of the park to give the illusion of safety, too. "There," I said. "Perfect.